Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
I know something that'll get on your nerves, get on your nerves, get on your nerves. I know something that'll get on your nerves, get on your nerves, get on your nerves.
Great.
I know something that'll get on your nerves,
hey,
get on your
nerves. That's a great choice of song.
It is.
Today's topic.
It is, yes. What are we talking about, Mills?
We're going to talk about repetition.
Reputation?
No, repetition. You say it wrong all of the time.
No, I do not. I just said it wrong now.
Okay. No, you say it wrong all of the time.
No, I just said it wrong.
So it's repetition.
Repetition.
And we're going to talk about the difference between repetition and routine because we get a lot of questions about this because we talk about repetition all the time. We talk about repetition a lot.
I'm in your mind right now.
I know you are.
You know that I'm in your mind. I'm controlling your mind right now.
Sure. Okay. Anyway, we talk about repetition a lot and people, I think that it's important that we just clarify it. What are you talking about?
I'm just letting them know that I'm controlling your mind and now I'm controlling their mind.
Who's them?
The people on the other end of the camera. Will. Okay, come on, go. Let's do this.
Okay.
Why have you been so ridiculous? Jesus.
Anyway.
Yes, what?
I don't know. I actually don't know. Go ahead.
Jesus.
You start talking.
Yes, what?
You start talking.
Well, we were talking about people always say to us, you know, well, we yell out in audiences, listen, repetition lulls your brain to sleep.
Just say it with me. Repetition
lulls your brain to sleep. Repetition lulls your brain to sleep.
Yeah.
And so what does that mean? Well, I mean, repetition lulls your brain to sleep. What does it mean to you?
Well, it means to me that when you do the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
And you don't use any brain power to think about it,
yeah.
Then you're actually sleeping. You're walking,
yeah.
But you're sleeping.
Yeah.
So you're awake, but you're sleeping. So what that means is that I get up and I, you know, we're going to get up and do the similar things every day. We're going to get up and we're going to have a shower. We're going to get up and we're going to eat breakfast and we're going to, you know, go to the gym and do certain things.
So that's routine though.
Well, yes. But if you're doing them all at exactly the same time, in exactly the same way, without any thought, so it's just you're on autopilot, that's what we're talking about.
So getting out of bed the same side. Having the same cereal every morning.
Every morning.
Driving to work the same way every day. And because it's also very mammalian brain stuff because the brain, you know, wants to find the least route of resistance.
Yes.
It wants to keep you safe.
Yes.
So it looks for
the easiest path.
The easiest
to
path.
To get to something. So it's like, you know, after, you know, if imagine you're starting a new job and you've never driven to work that particular, you know, to that particular place in the city. And you get up and you go to work and you have to think about, okay, which way do I have to get there? How am I going to get there? What time do I have to leave in order to get to that place?
Yeah.
You're actually engaging your brain. You're having to think.
Yeah.
But after a week of working in that same spot, it's like, well, I know what time to set my alarm. I know I've got to leave the house by a certain time because I'm going to drive the same way, get there at the same time. And so your brain is not actively engaged in your life, in achieving anything. So if you're not actively using your brain, that's when it's being lulled to sleep. So
because and when you think about it, like the masses, so many people in the world are asleep. So many people, and they don't realize it's the little things that they're doing every day that have actually lulled them to sleep.
And this is not about us saying they're asleep. I mean, everybody does that.
In their own way,
In some way, shape or form, everybody does that. But
they're asleep.
But for us, I mean, I know for us, our intention is to really change it up and really make it so that we're not having to just be on repeat or
it's about top-downing the shit out of your life. And the way to do that is you've got to be altering things all of the time. There has to be movement. So you've got to be taking yourself out of that comfort zone all the time, that state of safety. You know, you've got to push, you know, that part of the brain, which is the more evolved part of the brain, that walnut-shaped part of the brain that just loves information and just wants to soak it up. Because if you lull that part of your brain to sleep, you're at the mercy of your animalistic part of your brain, which is just about staying safe. You know, there's no push.
Because
there's
then any time that you go against that, you feel you start to panic because you're feeling like, oh, this is not what I'm used to. So
I suppose routine and repetition, having, you know, routine is important. Well, because we see this in kids,
well,
right?
This is the thing. So when we talk about repetition lulls the brain to sleep, a lot of people say, well, what about kids? Kids, you know, thrive on routine. And yes, we agree. So in terms of kids, we'll talk about that quickly. Kids, it's important for kids to have a routine. It's important for them to understand, yes, that they have to brush their teeth, you know, in the morning and in the evening. Mm-hmm. It's important for them to understand that, yes, they've got to, you know, bathe themselves. They have to, you know, eat breakfast. There's certain tasks perhaps that they have, like with older kids, you know, little chores and things like that.
Because, I mean, I know having young kids, what I found was when, you know, when a baby first turns up, you know, it's like life is all over the place. They're waking up, they're going to sleep, they're waking up, they're going to sleep. And I remember we actually called in a woman to help
a sleep specialist
to help us with Lexi because we just couldn't get her asleep. And, you know, when the baby turns up, you're a novice. You know, somebody hands you this piece of flesh and you leave and you're like, you know, nobody gave me a book. There's no manual. What the fuck do I do with this? You know, and you take this baby home and you're like, shit, you know, how do I handle this? So, and then, you know, you kind of feel a bit helpless, especially a man, you feel a bit helpless because the woman takes over and it's just about the woman and the baby. And then you can start to see that, you know, your wife, I remember Angela's not getting any sleep. She was, you know, there was no routine, you know, there was literally no routine. So I remember one of the first things this woman taught us, and she did it in a day. Now, we had been struggling, man. Like, we had been struggling. Like, Ange was, you know, at the end of her tether. Yeah. She was really, and like, I was at the end of my tether, and it was struggle town. It was absolute struggle town. And she
this
just.
This time, 9 years ago.
That's right, little Lexi. Yeah. So she came in and showed us some really, really simple, straightforward things and behaviors with the baby. The first one was, you know, that swaddling. You know, you got to swaddle the baby and you got to swaddle them so that they feel tight and close like they're back in the womb. You got to swaddle them properly. And I became the swaddle king. Like I used to have swaddle offs with my buddies, you know. But and then the other thing was is there about getting the kid to sleep at a certain time. And then the routine of putting the baby down and leaving the bedroom, you know, so we would put her down and she would start to cry. Stand close to her, don't look in her eyes, hold her, put her down, don't look in her eyes, stand close to her, and then slowly but surely make your way out, stand at the door so she still feels, keep moving, then stand outside the door so that she still feels the energy that you're there. So with that became, she went down at a certain time, she fed at a certain time, she got up at a certain time. Once we started doing that, which are really, really the primitive routine that everybody has to have, because you know, like kids know, I got to go to bed at 7:30. You know, you got to get the kids into bed at 7:30. Get them into bed at 7:30. You got to feed them at a certain time before they go to bed. But it's like, don't feed them the same food every day, because if you get fed the same meal every day, eventually, like, you're just going to feel repulsed by it.
Yeah. So routine is about giving the child what it needs in that time to have a sense of safety and security in their environment.
Yeah.
So if the kids don't have any sense of that, it can be very, all over the place, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So starting from when the
and just saying something important there is that they pick up on your energy as well.
Yes,
you know, because if they have no routine, you have no routine.
Yeah.
Does that make sense about what to do?
Yeah. So you start them at a young age in the way of sleeping, eating, because and kids will, you know, go down at certain times, eat at certain times, play for certain times.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they grow, it's important for them to also continue to have elements of that. But there's a few important rules with kids and routine. The first important rule is that, especially as kids grow a little older, if you're really, really strict with, no, bedtime's at 7 and, you're never, ever going to sway from that, it gets a bit problematic. It means that you can't be out, you know, watching sunset on the beach, having a picnic on the beach at that time because bedtime is at 7, you know. And so you want to be able to be flexible enough to adjust the routine occasionally depending on the scenario, right? And then also you've got to understand and you've got to watch the cues where your child needs to move the routine, needs to shift how they're performing or how they're acting or what they're doing, you know. So Ange was really, really good at this, I remember, because, you know, I'd come by 1 week and the kids would be having a bath and you'd get them out of the bath a certain way because that was next minute, you know, they're ready to get out of the bath themselves. And, you know, instead of you taking them to the bedroom to change, they're doing it in a different way. So the routine changed, right?
Yeah.
And like, I'm trying to do something the way it was done, you know, a week ago, and Ange's like, oh no, he's moved on from that now, so we're doing this.
Yeah, right.
So Andrew's really good at being able to monitor when the kids' routine needed to alter, do you know what I mean? She's also really good at being able to monitor how, you know, Lexi, who's a bit older, perhaps it's okay for her to shift her routine slightly dependent on her needs as opposed to the needs of the younger kids. So I think that it's important to understand that the need for flexibility in the routine so that you're not being rigid, but the kids do need some stability.
Yeah.
Where it becomes repetition is where, like you said, it's doing the same thing all of the time in exactly the same way.
Yeah.
If you're in the bath, you're singing the same songs. If you're eating breakfast, you're eating the same meal. If you're, and it's exactly the same thing.
That's all the time.
When it becomes boring, it becomes repetitive, and we're not having to think anything greater. So a lot of the times people are like, oh, no, this is the routine. It's comfortable for me now.
Yeah.
And what happens is we want to stay in that comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
But growth happens. And like we've said many times, you know, you can't have growth and comfort. So growth and comfort can't occupy the same space, right?
Yeah.
So you can't be comfortable and grow, and you can't grow and be comfortable.
So
you're going to have to be pushing out of those boundaries.
So it's kind of like progression happens on the border of comfort and uncomfort.
Yes.
So you have to have both things happen. So the comfort part really feeds that mammalian part of the brain. The uncomfort part feeds that more evolved part of the brain.
Yes.
So both things have to happen. You must have some routine, but not just no repetition within the routine.
Yes.
So
it's like going to the gym every day, right?
Yeah.
And sure, you're going to the gym every day, but if you're doing exactly the same exercises all of the time, you're not going to grow. You're not going to move. You're not going to change. You're not going to transform, right?
Yeah.
So it's like going to the gym is great as a part of your routine, but you have to switch it up. You've got to move so that your muscles can learn, you can grow, you can
And you don't get bored going there.
Exactly.
You know?
So that's – I think that's the biggest I think the biggest piece of information we can give in terms of routine and repetition.
Yeah.
So what's the way that you kind of keep things fresh so that you're not doing the same thing all of the time?
Well,
I think our job allows for that a little bit as well because, you know, some days it's just you and I, we're studying and stuff. Some days we're, you know, in seminars, so we have to, you know, get up earlier, do different things earlier in the day. And, you know, I suppose we have different routines for different types of days that we have as well.
Yeah.
I know that.
But I think that you know, just having a good gauge of when you're getting bored with what you're doing.
And when you're not thinking.
Yeah, and you feel as if, you know, you're asleep. Like you're getting to work and you're thinking, you know,
what happened? How did I get here?
Yeah, you're getting home from work and you're going, did I fucking go to work today? It's like that's when you've got an issue. So you know you got to go to work. It's about driving a different way every day. You know, when you get into work, there's certain things, tasks you got to do. It's about just doing them in a different way every day.
Yeah.
You know, even with our food, you know, Ange's, you know, because Ange's not the best cook or chef in the world. So what will happen is that she'll find a meal and she will just cook the shit out of that meal until the kids literally cannot stand it anymore. Does that make sense? Or she'll get it.
That's totally something I would do.
I remember when we got hold of this is a great way to say it, but I remember somebody had said, hey, listen to Deadmau5 random album title, which is about 10 years ago. And when we got that particular CD, Ange just played it to death. And like, you'd get into the car and it'd be Deadmau5 random album title. And oh my God, I'd be like, just switch that off or I'm going to throw myself out the window. But that's a little bit how Ange is. She likes that sense of security and safety. But when I see her come out of herself, is really when we have the routine, but we do different things within the routine. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really where you evolve and grow and feel like, you know, like something different is happening.
Yeah.
So you got to be consciously aware of nurturing that part of yourself.
Absolutely.
Don't keep reading on the same topics. You know, read stuff that is inspiring you and helping you to feel clear and good. Yeah.
That stops the whole thing of, you know, 2018 is just a repeat of 2017, you know, and 2019 is just a repeat of 2000.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing happens all the time.
Yeah.
Before you know it, you're just in this same cycle. You might be in a different place, but emotionally you're in the same cycle.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to avoid, I suppose.
And your body will tell you and your life will tell you. Like for me, if I'm at Christmas time, if I, you know, there's only so much time I can spend at home and then I'm like, okay, we need to dismantle something. What can we go and break and fix? And,
yeah.
And I have to get out of here. I have to get back on the water. I have to do stuff. So I have to do something different.
You've got to be actively thinking and doing stuff. And that's how, well, that's how you grow. That's how you move, right?
Cool. That was great. That
covers all that information.
Good work, buddy.
Need to sing a repetitive song now. This is the song that never ends. It just goes on and on, my friend.
I really like that song.
Some people started singing it, not knowing what it was, and they'll continue singing it forever just because this is the song.
That's enough now. If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.